asked him to describe his season, and immediately he said, unpredictable. He echoed that with all the games that over the last 8 to 10 years, we found a way to win, the single-digit games where plays were made down the stretch, we found ways to lose this season.
2-9 in games decided by 8 points or less. That has been the staple for the Aztecs. You watch them and you think, closing time, they're going to finish it, it's winning time. That's what these teams do. That has been a struggle mightily for this San Diego State team this season. It's because of that lack of leadership. It's because of that lack of an alpha. You look at guys like Malik Pope, you thought he'd be that guy. Still riddled with injury. It's not really within his makeup to be that, guys, give me the ball, let me make the play. And as you look at the roster, a lot of talent and guys capable of different skill sets, but nobody that you can go to and say, give me what we need right now.
Jordan Quintet and John Cenac on the call, courtesy of CBS Sports. And that game means UNLV, who also lost their season finale at Fresno State, will play San Diego State in the buy-in round of the Mountain West Conference Tournament this Wednesday afternoon at the Thomas & Mack. Well, aside from the Runnin' Rebels wrapping up their most forgettable season ever, it is a beautiful Sunday morning, and I'm not referring to the improvement in the weather here in Las Vegas. It's March, and that should say it all if you're listening to this station. If you're channel surfing, stick and stay. This is Out of Line, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Studio in Las Vegas. I'm Brian Feldman, and we are here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 on Fox Sports 1340 and streaming live at lvsportsnetwork.com. My broadcast team consists of two people, me and the man standing directly in front of me. He is not only the show producer, but also the host of the latest and hottest new podcast found on the LV Sports Network website called The Other Football. Mr. Chris Chapman, also known as Magnum. You can follow this show on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM and check out the Facebook page, which is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Likes, follows, and R-rated posts sometimes are welcome. Hey, if you have an opinion, pay attention, because I'm told I don't give out the following information enough. The Fox Sports Studio line is 702-876-1340. One more time, 876-1340. 1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Time for What's on Tap, pouring out thanks to Bubby's University. March Madness is officially in the air as we get set for four conference tournaments taking place right here in Las Vegas. The Runnin' Rebels will be the 11th seed in the Mountain West Conference Tournament for the first time in their history, and they play San Diego State, playing in a buy-in game for the first time in their history. And the number one seed is known in these parts as the team up north. We changed that recently. And their assistant coach, their a person we know very well here, is going to be joining us real quickly at the last second, so it's a real nice change of pace. I found that out just this morning a few minutes ago. And hey, right down the road also, the Pac-12 tournament is taking place for the fifth consecutive year in Las Vegas, but it will be the first time it will be held at the T-Mobile Arena. Emily Van Busker, college football and basketball lead writer for thesportsfanjournal.com, will join to talk about the four top teams in the country that are here this week. Three of them are in the Pac-12. Scott Gertner, the executive director of public relations for MGM Resorts International, will let us know what we can expect at this year's Pac-12 tournament and how you can get tickets if you didn't already bother to get them. And it's NASCAR weekend here in Las Vegas, and with Las Vegas native Kurt Busch winning his first Daytona 500 last Sunday, it makes this year's Boyd Gaming 300 and the Cobalt 400 that much bigger. And yes, we have some tickets to give away to both races next weekend, and if you don't win them, Jeff Motley, the vice president of public relations at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, will be checking in to let all the procrastinators know how they can still buy good tickets and race weekend packages. Also, stick around for Blazin', and the subject matter of today's Fact This is worth hearing. On tap at Bubby's University, earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff, where the only majors are mayhem and good times. Bring your Rebel ID, and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day, Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information. The guy's been on hold way too long, Magnum. Let's put him on the air. A friend of mine, I haven't talked to him in a long time. I missed him, as a matter of fact, the other night, because I had to go do Rebel Extra. The assistant coach of UNR, that team up north, Dave Rice. What's happening, my friend?
Brian, great hearing from you. Great to be on the show. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, my God. Always a welcome addition to the show. Coach, you have a pretty darn strong team up there. A well-coached team yourself, Coach Musselman, and some players that are just, I don't know about NBA ready, but my goodness, Cameron Oliver is everything that we'd hoped he can be. And when you talk about getting some great transfers, I think you've got one of the best in the last 10 years in the Mountain West Conference.
Well, we're certainly excited about the progress that we made from start of the season to the end of the regular season. Of course, it concluded yesterday. We went into the game tied with Colorado State for first place. Colorado State's a very good basketball team. We were able to find a way to win the game and be the outright regular season conference champions, and so we're extremely excited about that.
Coach, this is going to be returning to Vegas in a whole different light for you, coming to the Thomas and Mack and coming in here with a really good team. You've already got your chance, the homecoming a couple weeks ago, I thought pretty well received. What are you expecting this time around with the UNR team that you're bringing into town?
Well, we're excited to be playing the conference tournament on Thursday, and we'll get the winner of Utah State and San Jose State. And as you know, when it's a one-and-done situation, it's always a challenge. And I think as coaches, we always talk about how wide open conference tournaments are and anyone can win, but this is truly a year in the Mountain West that there are a lot of teams that are very capable of winning 3 games in 3 days or 4 games in 4 days. And it's always a great environment in the Thomas and Mack Center for the conference tournament. I think this season will be no different.
Yeah, you know, I said with Bernie Fratto last night on Rebel Extra that I don't remember a year when the Mountain West is ripe for the pick and anybody could take it. I think UNR is a step above the rest of the teams in the league. But, Coach, it's kind of a little bit disconcerting that the Mountain West just doesn't seem to get the respect. I think we've got some of the best coaches in the country in this conference, first of all. And I think I can't even say underrated. I think everybody knows about them, but they're saying, you know, if UNR even made a deep run, that this is going to be a one-bid conference this year again.
Well, again, we're excited about the progress we've made as a basketball team and basketball program. It's always a difficult endeavor to play 18 games in conference play, and certainly we are very proud of the achievement to be the outright conference champions in the Mountain West Conference. And so it'll be a challenge coming to Vegas this week and playing against good teams in the Mountain West, and we just feel like we have a good conference, and we think we're deserving of multiple bids in our league. I know of my second year as a head coach at UNLV, which was 2012-2013, we had 9 teams in the conference, and 5 of us, including us at UNLV, went to the NCAA tournament. And so we think we play good basketball in the Mountain West and excited about the challenge of playing this week.
Coach, you got to coach against Eric Musselman, I think one of the best coaches in the country, I really do. And you got to coach against him for a couple of years. He completely transformed that program up in Reno in a matter of 3 years to a contender. I mean, a team that really can maybe make a little run in the NCAA tournament, some tremendous teams. As I mentioned, just a great transfer in Marcus Marshall this year. But what have you know, now it's like having two head coaches on the same team. What do you bring to that team, and what has Eric Musselman helped you out with?
Well, it's been great to get back to work, certainly, and to work for someone like Eric Musselman, who's got great experience. He was a longtime D-League coach, CBA coach, very successful, and then was a very successful coach in the NBA, was the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, was a head coach of the Sacramento Kings. He just brings great energy. He's got a great knack for putting a roster together and evaluating players and getting players to play extremely hard, and there's a talent there, no doubt. And so it's been a great combination for us and for me to come to University of Nevada and be part of a successful program. And so really excited about that opportunity.
Hey, we say it's wide open, Coach. What is it going to take to win this year's Mountain West Conference tournament?
Well, I think that any time you go into a situation like that, you've got to be playing at your best. You've got to stay away from injuries, and you've got to stay away from foul trouble. But it's a new season, and the thing about it is that everyone feels like they've got an opportunity, and they do. And so those teams that play in that play-in round on Wednesday, they're going to – whatever team we get is going to have tremendous confidence. They're going to have won. They're going to have played in that building the night before or the day before. And so it's always a challenge to play against a team who's coming in off of a win the day before. You always want the bye, no doubt, because you don't want to play the extra game. But whoever you get – He's a team with some confidence coming off a win the night before.
No question about it. You talked about just playing that game, bringing Colorado State there. What about the job Larry Eustace has done at Colorado State, losing one of his best players to a transfer before the season and then three guys to academic ineligibility two games into the Mountain West Conference tournament, and yet on the last day of the regular season, he's competing for the Mountain West regular season crown. Pretty impressive.
Oh, very impressive. You talked about there are great coaches in the conference, and players come and go, but coaches stay, and there's always been a strong group of coaches in the Mountain West Conference. And Larry Stacey's done a fantastic job for years, and certainly this year was one of, and he's always been very, very good, and this was as good a job as he's ever done. When you talk about losing John Gillen to Syracuse before the season and then losing three players mid-year, and they regrouped and found a way and ended up finishing second in the conference, just had a tremendous conference season, and they're certainly one of the favorites going into the conference tournament, no doubt.
Hey, Coach, before I let you go, I got to ask, how are you and your family doing? Congratulations to your son a year ago winning the state tournament with Gorman, and wow, one of the most exciting basketball games I have ever seen in my life, that state championship game with Gorman coming back to beat Clark this year.
Well, we actually played UNLV the next day on Saturday, so I was able to be at the Gorman-Clark game that Friday night in Cox Arena, and I was really proud of the job that my brother Grant Rice did, and certainly he's had great success at Gorman, but also Colin Darfour, who was on our team at UNLV when I was an assistant coach, did a fantastic job at Clark this year as well. But great high school basketball game, a great high school basketball in the state of Nevada, and certainly it was a great state tournament, and was really proud of the job Gorman did, but also the job that Clark did under Colin Darfour.
Ah, so exciting. And Coach, you bought some warmer clothing for being up north there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. A little snow today, but nothing can dampen our mood after the job that our players did. Couldn't be prouder of the job that our players did yesterday, winning against a very, very good Colorado State team and being the outright conference champions of the Mountain West. It's a great achievement for us, and excited to get back to practice tomorrow and get ready for conference tournament play on Thursday.
Wish you nothing but the best of luck, Coach. Congratulations. And what I love about the Mountain West Tournament, other than some tremendous basketball, is no offense to anybody out there, but I don't have to eat CC's pizza. They give us something a little bit different to eat. All right, I didn't say that. Coach Dave Rice, up there in Reno, we appreciate you so much getting in touch with me at the last minute today, coming on the show. Have a safe trip in, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
Well, you do a great job, and it made my day to be able to come on the show and just hello to all my friends in Las Vegas. Have so many that we made over the years, and look forward to seeing a lot of them this week when we come down to Vegas to play in a very competitive conference tournament. Thanks so much for having me on, Brian.
Absolutely. That is Dave Rice, coach up in Reno, and I have a feeling Magnum will probably see Dave Rice as a head coach pretty soon, and looking very forward to that. Listen, we are going to take our first break here. When we come back, we are going to be joined by Emily Van Buskirk. She is the lead college football and basketball writer at thesportsfanjournal.com, and we'll talk to Emily right after this.
We're not a one-bid league. As a rule, we've had as many as I think four or five in the tournament at one time. I think we had four, if not four, maybe even five in the time when we had only nine schools, maybe four. That's what we should be. And it happens in a variety of ways. You have to have teams that are good, schedule with thoughtfulness, and then win some of those. And, you know, you look, I said this before, Vegas got off to a great start in non-conference play. And how much the wins that they had over UCLA, Indiana, Oregon, how much those are diminished, dismissed because of the way the season ended for them, I don't know. But we sometimes perception is reality, and the more you talk about it, the more others who have never seen us play talk about it.
A one-bid league, according to Coach Steve Fisher at San Diego State. And by the way, Coach, that was last year, by the way. That was last year at the press conference. after they lost the Mountain West Conference Tournament Championship game to Fresno State. Rodney Terry and that team got him, and it was a one big league last year. Fresno State went in as like a 13 seed, winning the Mountain West Conference, and that was really bad. San Diego probably would have been a little higher seed had they won the tournament they won the regular season crown and the postseason, and then lost in the championship game, went to the Final Four in the NIT, but it was terrible. But it's a one big league, and by the way, again, they did not beat UCLA. They lost to UCLA in the preseason tournament in Hawaii. That is the same tournament they did beat Indiana, and they came home and beat Oregon. It looked like it was going to be a great season. They lose the first three games of the Mountain West Conference tournament, and then the guy you just heard on the air a few minutes ago, Dave Rice, now an assistant coach up in Reno, gets fired, and it has been a complete cluster, you know what, since that time.
The good news for the conference, though, is that some of these lower bid leagues, like the Ohio Valley Conference and the Horizon League, their number one seed will not be in the NCAA tournament. So a couple weeks ago, there was thought that if it's not UNR or Colorado State that win the Mountain West Conference, we were looking at maybe a 15 seed for the team from the Mountain West. I think because some of those lower level conferences below this conference have lost their number one seed, I think they're pretty safe as far as that 12-13 line now. But really sad how far the conference has fallen.
It's ridiculous. And I wanted to ask, joining the show now, of course, a good friend, and I guess I just learned I won't be seeing her this year at the Pac-12 conference tournament. First time they're having it, by the way, at T-Mobile Arena, but she is the lead college football and basketball writer at thesportsfanjournal.com. Emily Van Buskirk, follow her on Twitter at MLNEM. That's EMILNEM, I got that right for a change. Let me ask you something. Is the Mountain West Conference perceived as horrible by most experts?
That's setting me up for a loss, that kind of question.
You got to tell the truth. I mean, hey, Budweiser hot seat.
To be honest, when you guys were just talking about it and hearing that quote from Coach, that's probably the most that I've heard / talked about that conference this whole season. So I think that probably gives you an idea of where it stands with. Now, I don't cover it like you guys cover it, so you would know more. But as someone who kind of dips their fingers in as many different conferences and games as she can, I can't say that I've paid too much attention, unfortunately.
You and nobody else. It's pretty amazing. I mean, Reno to me is the only legitimate team that's in the conference right now. I think they've got two real good NBA prospects, three guys that might play in the NBA, but Cameron Oliver definitely is going to be a contributor at the next level, and Reno could do some damage if they play their best basketball, but they've been up and down. They've had some really horrific defeats, and the defeats are so bad that even with over 23 wins, they're still going to have to win the conference tournament to get that automatic bid. As I mentioned, going on right down the road at the T-Mobile Arena for the first time, and I'm bummed you're not going to be there. It is so cool. But I want to ask you, are the big three in this year's Pac-12 conference really good enough to win it all? I'm talking, of course, about Oregon, Arizona, and UCLA.
That's a really good question, because it is a strong top of the conference. I don't believe that all three have a chance. Now, that being said, it could be, I think, any one of those given teams on any given day. But you know that I'm a big supporter of Oregon. I believe that they have the most complete tournament-type team with a guy in Dylan Brooks who's just an absolute clutch player when it's on the line, as we saw several times this year with buzzer-beater baskets, especially against Cal most recently. So I like Oregon to be the most sustainable of the three. I think UCLA, though, when they turn it on, like we saw last night in the second half, when they put it together and they have a leader in Bryce Alford, despite all the hype that Lonzo Ball gets, I think Alford's really the heart of that team. So I think they also have a chance. I'm not a big believer in Arizona. You know, I've never really bought in. I like Sean Miller as a coach. I think he's probably the strongest of the three coaches. But I do believe the Pac-12 top is strong, but I only think maybe one or two get as far as they can. I don't think all three go. No way.
Well, I'm hard-pressed to say that Sean Miller is a better coach than Dana Altman. Steve Alford, I still think, has some tenure to gather. But I think Dana Altman and Sean Miller, take either one of them. I think they're both great coaches. And you mentioned Lonzo Ball. Let me ask you a question. Do you think he's a better NBA superstar prospect than Kentucky's Malik Monk?
You know, it's funny. I just went to a Kentucky game on Wednesday. Tuesday. I was at Kentucky-Vanderbilt, which actually turned out to be a pretty interesting game, given that Vandy held them, you know, to their lowest first half score, like ever. And it was interesting to see Malik Monk in person, because of course he looked very electric on the television, but seeing him struggle like that in the first half, but then come back and guide his team to the biggest overcome of a deficit Kentucky's ever had was really showed me that this kid is for real. And I think the competition that he plays against is just so much stronger than what Lonzo Ball faces. I would love to see Lonzo play a team that could give him more trouble, like a Kansas or Kentucky, guys that are big and that fight hard like other conferences. You know, I don't like to say the West Coast is soft, but it's a different style of basketball for sure. So I haven't really bought into this Lonzo Ball hype quite yet. If he makes a run in the Pac-12 tournament and beyond, then I got to say I'm a believer. I don't like what his dad said about him being better than Steph Curry. I can't even imagine that. But, you know, props to his dad for being his biggest nephew.
Well, I was going to say first, if candy and nuts, how does that go? If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, every day would be Christmas. But I will tell you this much. Right. I will say that, you know, the BPI does not have a lot of respect for the Pac-12. They've got the highest rated team they've got, at least as far as last week, when last week's BPI polls came out. They have UCLA ranked 12th. Now, the AP's got him as third. And it's funny because they've got him ranked as third, and yet they finished third in the Pac-12, and that they're ahead of both Oregon and Arizona substantially. And they're, in the BPI, Oregon's right behind him at 13, but it's amazing. They have Purdue ranked in front of UCLA. And, you know, real quickly before I jump into that, you were talking about Lonzo Ball and his father. I believe that his father is going to come out next week and say that Malik Monk is actually a stepchild of his. So, because he needs to take credit for more than he is. I mean, we already know Lonzo Ball is the second coming. You know, it's a shame. I hate when stuff like this goes on. It creates some drama and stuff for people to write about. But please, man, it kills the kid. So much pressure. Although he's a pretty cocky kid, that cockiness can get taken out of you real quickly at the next level.
It's very calculated, I think, what he's doing. And people have been writing it off as kind of like him just spouting off. But I think any kind of buzz he can create around his son heading into, you know, the NBA and all that is, we've learned that this is a culture of, you know, a 24-hour news cycle. So if he can get people talking about his kid in whatever capacity, even if it's, you know, oh, he's so great, he could be this, he could be that, people are still talking about it. So I think it's actually very calculated. I think this guy's smarter than people give him credit for, but I agree with you. It is tough probably for Lonzo, despite the fact that, yes, he is cocky and he probably buys into it a little bit with his dad. It is tough to see because then you know that there's that added pressure for him when he's stepping out on the court.
Well, there isn't. Well, at least his dad is not abusive like what's-his-name's father from a couple of years ago on UCLA's team, the kid that played out here at Gorman, Shabazz Muhammad. I'll take his dad over Shabazz Muhammad's dad any day. I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Looking at the BPI poll, the AP poll, I've got my opinions. But right now, we're getting ready for the conference tournaments. Regular season is kaput. Who is the best team in the country right now?
That is a tough one. You know that I'm.
Yeah, you're rock chalking all the way, aren't you? You and Bill Self. There's something going on between the two of you. One of these days, I'll figure it out and I'll break the story.
No way. But I love how they play. They're just so fun to watch. And I don't know how you don't revel in a guy like Frank Mason. I mean, he's just had such a great year. He's such a fun leader. He makes basketball fun again. You know, I love watching it. So when they finally took that number one spot and Gonzaga went down, thank God, I was like, this is exactly where they should be. This is who should be at the top because they're playing the best basketball. They're beating the best opponents. And in my opinion, they're the strongest team and can put together a complete game with a coach that can push them through any adversity. So I think Kansas has an actual real shot this year of making it all the way through.
You know, I will not disagree with that in any way. They've played some close close games. They've showed a great deal of resiliency at times. So a tremendous comeback win a couple of weeks ago against West Virginia, and they can really play. But I look at this tournament team as, you know, people say there's 8 or 9 teams usually that can win the tournament. I'm looking all the way down to number 23 of last week and looking at the body of work that they have been putting in lately. After losing, what, 3 straight games, look what Virginia's just done this past week. They beat UNC, and they beat Pittsburgh, and my point is, it is a deep field. The one thing I'm shaking my head and I'm puzzled about is the Big Ten. I don't know if they're just as bad as they appear, or if they just beat the crap out of each other, and all of a sudden they're going to emerge in the NCAA tournament with a bunch of wins. That's going to be yet to be determined. But I don't have a ton of time today, and one thing I do want to get to is, it's that time of year, I'm excited. Real quickly, a couple of things. I want to ask you, your favorite tournament of all time?
Yeah, I did do some prep work for this question when you mentioned it, because it is a tough one to answer. Last year's tournament was so great. It was my first time covering the Final Four, and what a game, you know, Villanova, North Carolina. So that's always going to be special in my heart. But I narrowed my answer to the 2008 Kansas-Memphis game with Mario Chalmers' 3-point shot to head into overtime, and then Kansas winning it all. So that's going to be my absolute favorite memory. There's a lot of guys in that game. Derrick Rose, you know, from Memphis, and watching Chalmers play back then was great.
A very good one. You know, I have a couple of them, and it's funny, I was going to throw out like the 83 championship game, North Carolina State, Houston, that's obvious. Villanova, Georgetown, another one that's obvious back in 85. I'm old enough to have seen all these games, which is really sad. And the Villanova, Georgetown game produced my favorite coach to this day, Jimmy Boeheim. And how did he produce him? Well, Jimmy Boeheim had one of the greatest quotes, I think, in NCAA history before that tournament started. When the big matchup, everyone was looking forward to the semifinals. It was going to be St. John's and Georgetown. St. John's, the only team able to beat Georgetown that year going into the championships. And the bottom line is, Jimmy Boeheim said before the tournament started, he said, St. John's can't beat Georgetown, but Villanova can. Villanova was a 9 seed. Who the hell knew? You know, granted, he played in the Big East, but what a quote. I've loved him ever since. And the other game, of course, I was going to bring up was the Michigan State-Indiana State game, the first college game I ever remember watching in 1979 as a junior in high school. Of course, to me, that game revolutionized not only college basketball in the Final Four, but the NBA when Magic Johnson and Larry Bird hit the scene. Paychecks and salaries have gone way up. Matter of fact, every guy that cashes a paycheck in the NBA ought to send them residuals and kiss their butts every time, because they elevated pay scales in the National Basketball Association. But you know what my favorite one is? 1989, Michigan Seton Hall overtime. Steve Fisher takes over a team right before the tournament from Bill Frieder, who takes the job at Arizona State. The athletic director at the time, Bo Schembechler at Michigan, said, get the hell out of here. You're not coaching at the tournament if you're bailing. And Steve Fisher wins his first 6 games, which, by the way, won him a national championship. Glenn Rice, Terry Mills, Lloyd Vaught, Ramil Robinson, a hell of a team that Michigan team had, and one of my favorites. It was an OT game, and a lot of people probably don't remember that in this part of the country. But, that being said, got to let you run. I will say the last thing is, Bill Self, your favorite coach in the country? Would you say he's number one?
Absolutely.
Okay, I thought so.
The way his players respond to him, the way that he handles everything, how could you not like the guy? He's hilarious.
He's great. Emily Van Buskirk, lead college football and basketball writer for the SportsFanJournal.com. She's awesome. Read her articles. Em, we love you on the show, and I am really bummed I'm not going to see you at the Pac-12 tournament. I was saying, last year we were supposed to get a picture together so I can use it when I post on social media, and I still don't have one. I'm gonna have to Photoshop one.
I can work on that for you.
All right. Yeah, way better than me. Emily Van Buskirk, we'll talk to you soon, hon. Thanks for joining the show.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Mags, I know we're flying behind. Go ahead, hit the commercial button. We'll come right back. We got Scott Gertner with MGM International.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's 1,000 pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care. And I'm just a devil with love to spare. So Viva Las Vegas.
That song just perfect for March Madness, especially when you've got 4 conference tournaments taking place here in Las Vegas. 4 teams ranked in the top 10 are partaking in games. One's already in play. They played last night, Gonzaga, ranked number 4 in the country. And we have 3 others in the Pac-12. All will start play on Wednesday and Thursday this coming week. UCLA, Oregon, of course, ranked the highest in the tournament, but UCLA ranked higher in the country. But UCLA, Oregon, and Arizona, all in the top 10, and most people feel that any one of those three could make a run and potentially win the national championship. So that just adds fervor and fire to this year's Pac-12 tournament. Fifth year the Pac-12 tournament has been in Las Vegas, but it is the first year at T-Mobile Arena, and we are joined now by Scott Gertner. We're going to make it quick. He's the Executive Director of Public Relations at MGM Resorts International, and what can we expect, Scott, this year at T-Mobile Arena?
Good morning, Brian, and thanks again, as always, for having me on. I can't wait this year. I say this every year that I can't wait because March Madness, as we know, and the NCAA men's basketball and women's basketball tournament, for that matter, is a great time of year. It rivals the big game weekend, of course, in February. But when you've got 4 major tournaments in Las Vegas, and that's really what we're talking about. I mean, I know we're biased in terms of hosting the Pac-10 with the Pac-12 with our friends at AEG and at T-Mobile Arena for the first time. But this is going to be amazing. You've got, like you said, Oregon, UCLA, Arizona, and a Utah team all of a sudden. I believe, I haven't seen the draw yet, but I believe Utah may have snuck in as the 4 seed.
They did
last night with some victories in Cal. Yeah, so I tell you, they are playing some great ball. If I was Oregon, although Oregon looks so great, and I think definitely could be a Final Four team, I'd be nervous on a neutral floor of what Utah might be able to do with all their fans coming down. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and I know a lot of people are maybe a little sad that we're leaving the tournament's moving across the street. But you know, we had a great run at MGM Grand, and now as a sister venue, we'll have a great run at T-Mobile Arena.
No question about it. I went to T-Mobile Arena for the Duke UNLV game, and the venue is absolutely spectacular. It is completely a state-of-the-art facility, one of the nicest that I've seen. And that Pac-12 tournament, I say they're 6 teams deep because USC on a given day can be any one of those teams, and they've showed it during the season. So I think one of 6 teams could win this. Scott, real quickly, I said earlier, for people that haven't gotten tickets yet, what tickets and packages are still available, and how do people purchase them?
Absolutely. You can go to TMobileArena.com or Access.com, and you can get them all online. I know we've got some mid-range seats still available. A lot of times what happens after the lower-seeded teams lose, a lot of the fans will kick back and return their tickets that they might have had for the remainder of the tournament. So I would say if you're a local and you're listening to the show this morning or read the paper in the next couple days, you can always keep in mind that some of those teams may return their tickets, but we are selling extremely well, and most of those all-session seats were already gone. But it'll be an exciting time, and I think even for those fans who don't have tickets, they should come down to Toshiba Plaza in the park. That neighborhood that we built, and opened a year ago, is spectacular. We've got great food and beverage items, and the Toshiba Plaza is going to be activated with a number of different basketball activities and sponsorship content. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And even, like I said, if you don't have a ticket to a game yet, go online and get it. But if you don't, still come down and enjoy the atmosphere. It'll be a lot of fun.
Now, the weather turned just in time for the tournaments. It got nicer the last couple of days, thank God, because all those outdoors facilities will be popping next week. I want to ask you one more thing, Scott. Is the Pac-12 tournament now a fixture for the foreseeable future?
Well, I think so. I mean, you've seen it. You've seen a great success for the first 4 years at MGM Grand, and now with the fact that we opened T-Mobile Arena, nearly a year ago, and that so many events and so many of our event partners and promoters want to move their events. That's not a bad thing for MGM Grand, especially in light of the recent anchor tenancy with the Golden Knights and UFC, which we announced on Friday. I think you're going to see many more events that have the ability to program themselves at T-Mobile and into MGM Grand and Mandalay Bay. So while T-Mobile Arena is all about Las Vegas and the community, I think you will see a lot of events come into town that are great for both the city, for the hospitality and casino industry, and everybody who's a fan of the sports or concerts, whatever it might be, award shows, you name it.
Nobody does it better or more efficiently and effectively than the city of Las Vegas. I'm from Detroit. I've never seen anything like it. The productions and the things that go on out here are incredible. And T-Mobile Arena, like I said, is as state-of-the-art, as state-of-the-art as any facility out there right now. He is Scott Gertner, Executive Director of Public Relations, MGM Resorts International, a friend of mine. And Scott, I really appreciate you taking the time to join the show, especially when you thought it was 8:30 tonight.
I was prepared to sleep in today, get a little rest, watch a little golf, and maybe some early conference tournament action. But hey, that's okay. I woke up a little while ago. Always a pleasure having being a part of your show, Brian, and thanks for having me on. And like I said, this is going to be a great week, not only for just the Pac-12 tournament, but for the city overall with all the major tournaments going on.
I wish
you know I'm biased toward the Pac-12 because of my allegiance to Arizona and Colorado, but I hope that the Rebel fans turn out and that they can maybe make a little late season run in the Mountain West, because I think that tournament is wide open. While UNR and Boise have seemed to be the leaders of the pack, no pun intended. But I think the Rebels could make a run.
Well, from your mouth to God's ears, my friend. And remember one thing: it was Magnum that called you, not me.
It's fine. I was not asleep, I can tell you that.
All right, hey, have a great great rest of your day, and we will look forward to seeing you down at the T-Mobile Arena this week, Scott.
Thanks, Brian. See you this week.
Absolutely. Scott Gertner, Executive Director of Public Relations, MGM Resorts International. Time now for Blazin'. It is that time. And Blazin', of course, is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza over by Centennial Hills Hospital. Two happy hours every day and America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And it's easy to tell you about Blazin' this week. It is March Madness. Can you smell it? Can you taste it? It's Blazin'. But that's not the only thing that's Blazin'. Yeah, there's four conference tournaments going on all over the place. Yes, there are four top 10 teams playing right here in Las Vegas for your viewing and enjoying pleasure. But you know what else is going on? Next weekend, matter of fact, middle of this week, it is LVMS. It is NASCAR weekend here in Las Vegas at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And there is nothing hotter or more blazing than NASCAR racing. And especially, if you remember last week, I've got to give it up to Kurt Busch, who won the Busch Brothers' first ever Daytona 500. So if you want to know what's blazing, that's Blazin'. Again, Blazin' brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Two happy hours every day, flat screen TVs everywhere, and America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And joining the show right now, the Vice President of Public Relations at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, comes on the show every year at this time, helps us to give away the two tickets that I'm going to be giving away for both Saturday and Sunday in just a little while here before the show ends, to the Boyd Gaming 300 and the Cobalt 400. It is Jeff Motley. And hey, Jeff, what's going on? Are you ready for another exciting race weekend?
Yeah, we're getting there. Certainly a lot of preparations in place right now. You know, our entire staff's been working pretty much every day now for the last several weeks, just trying to get ready and looking forward to having more than 100,000 people coming into town for the race weekend.
Jeff, it's one of my favorite events. I'll tell you, me and my son covered every year. We love going together, and I was not a NASCAR fan before I moved to Las Vegas. I was an open wheel guy. I used to go to the track up in Irish Hills and see the Michigan 500 that was an IndyCar race, and that was my experience. And now down here, every year you do it, you just seem to do it better and better. What can we expect at this year's NASCAR weekend?
I love it. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of fun things. You know, we're going to kick it off on Thursday with the Hauler Parade going down the strip. You know, we didn't have that last year because NASCAR scheduled a test session on us on Thursday, so we didn't have time to do the parade. So this year we'll have the Hauler Parade back. We'll start that at 6 o'clock on Thursday night. And then throughout the weekend, we've got so many different activities going on at the track. A lot of those involve the Neon Garage, but we'll have a number of driver appearances in there. We'll be interacting with the fans. We've got Danica Patrick scheduled. We've got Kevin Harvick. We've got Chase Elliott. We've got Martin Truex Jr. We're going to do a special little celebration for Richard Petty in commemoration of him turning 80 years old this year. So there's a lot of neat things going on in there because, you know, the Neon Garage is such a fun place for people to hang out at the racetrack. And maybe the coolest thing that we're doing this year, and hopefully we'll be doing this for many, many races, not just this year, but beyond that, we have special kids pricing now. if you bring your kids who are 12 and under to the track on Friday for Stratosphere Pole Day, it's free. If you bring them on Saturday for the Boyd Gaming 300, it's free. And you can bring them on Sunday for the Cobalt 400 for just $10. I mean, you can't beat that you can bring your kids for such a small amount of money. And the Neon Garage is free to kids 15 and under all weekend long.
That's as good of a value as you're going to find in Las Vegas. And there is nothing like experiencing the thunder at NASCAR. It really is. If you haven't been out there, I am telling you, don't miss this opportunity. And I want to ask something, Jeff. Do you think Kurt Busch winning the Daytona 500 is making this year's ticket even hotter?
I think it certainly does. I mean, I think a lot of people that are in Las Vegas, you know, they're proud of their hometown athletes. You know, I think they like to see Kurt and Kyle do well. I think they watch baseball and they're happy to see Bryce Harper and Chris Bryant do well. They watch a football game and it's exciting to see DeMarco Murray, you know, have a good game. I just think it's great that we're seeing so many more sports figures from the Las Vegas area. I mean, you know, we've had a few, you know, back through the days, you know, Andre Agassi and Greg Maddux, but it's nice to see that we're getting more and more of these and some more young ones coming up. And I think probably part of that is as our population continues to boom here in the Las Vegas Valley, we will probably produce more and more top-level athletes in various types of sports. But I think Kurt winning is certainly a big deal. You know, a couple of years ago when Kyle won the championship, you know, that was a big deal. So hopefully we'll continue to see that explode for us.
I think we will. We had a kid on the show here not too long ago, Chris Trickle, that I'm looking forward to watching him. It sounds like he's going to have a good career down the road. And I want to let everyone know out there, there is a great transportation. You don't have to drive out there. It can be a little bit challenging at times. I've got a secret method and way to get there, and I'm not sharing that with everyone. I don't want traffic. But the buses, they have the greatest bus system. Any of the hotels on the Strip from any part you're at, I believe Bally's, Treasure Island, Stratosphere, Tropicana, and the Main Street Station hotels all have a way to get there. They've got the hours. You can check it out at the LVMS website. And Jeff, one thing I want you to do before you go, if there's one thing they told you, Jeff, you can only attend one thing at this event other than the race, what would you say is a no miss?
Wow, boy, that's
tough question, right?
I think other than the races themselves, I think it would certainly be the hauler parade on Thursday night. You know, it's very short there. You come out, line the Strip around 6 o'clock. It'll be over by 6:20, 6:25. You can go back into the casino, do whatever you're doing. But I think to see those haulers go down the Strip, I think that's a pretty cool spectacle.
I like it. He is Jeff Motley, Vice President of Public Relations for the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Joins the show every year at this time. Jeff, we always appreciate it. And we're going to take this time right now, 876-1340. Give me a call and win yourself the first call. Well, we're going to make a caller number 13. We'll get the tickets to the NASCAR Saturday. We'll do that for the Boyd Gaming. And let's do for the Cobalt 400. Let's make it caller number 20. You got to work for it and keep calling in. Jeff, as always, appreciate it, my friend.
Okay, Brian, take care.
Absolutely. Again, Jeff Motley. Hey, let's take our last real, real quick break. We'll come back with Fact This, and we got to end the show.
Out of Line, Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
The best thing that ever happened to the Detroit Lions was you staying in school, Sam Bradford, because even though they suck, they would have sucked worse with you, and you would have been another real bad draft pick. You would have been another, man, I don't even know that you're as good as Joey Harrington was. I still don't believe that Matthew Stafford was a number one NFL pick, but you know what? He was a hell of a lot better number one pick than you were, Sam Bradford. If you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like it, tell them anyways.
Don't miss Out of Line this Sunday from 8 till 9 a.m. on Fox Sports 1340.
Oh, it's time, right? It is. Listen, it's Fact This. And here's the fact this week. The Mountain West is at an all-time low. Two of the most storied members. UNLV and San Diego State are both trying to come from the back end of the Mountain West Conference tournament field to claim what will be the second year in a row the conference's only bid into the NCAA tournament, and both their chances are beyond slim, if not impossible. UNLV has never lost 9 games in a row for the second time in school. Has now lost, I should say, never lost 9. They've done it now for the second time in history. The only other time was in the school's first season with a basketball team in the 1950s, and they had never lost more than 17 games. They are now at 20 losses and counting, and San Diego State has never had to play a buy-in game in the conference tournament history. Both those things are happening this year. It's going to be tough, and don't rule out anybody, because anybody can win this tournament. As wide open as it's ever been. Mags, real quickly, what's the podcast this week, man?
Well, this week, myself and Johnny O, you can catch the podcast on the LV Sports Network website, or you can check it out on Facebook at The Other Football. It is called The Other Football, and we're talking about, of course, soccer, which many Americans refer to as The Other Football or soccer. But this week, we talk about, should replay technology be introduced in the FA Cup and throughout the world in terms of making sure they get things right on the field? And we talk a little bit about Leicester City. They defeated Liverpool last week, and they won again yesterday, actually. So they were looking like they were going down. All of a sudden, they got two wins in a row after they fired their coach. Things looking better for them. We talk a little bit about some of the better matches in the English Premier League this week as well. And
let them know where they can hear it again.
You can catch it on the LV Sports Network website, or you can check it out on Facebook at The Other Football on Facebook.
Hey, real quickly, I want to thank Emily Van Buskirk. I want to thank Scott Gertner, and I want to thank Jeff Motley, and of course, the future Hall of Fame producer, Magnum. Thanks for it. And I'll tell you right now, my prediction, New Mexico is going to win the Mountain West Conference Tournament, believe it or not. They have Elijah Brown, and Tim Williams is back. Listen, this is Out of Line. We're here every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 on Fox Sports 1340. We'll be back next week.
Thank you for your understanding, and I want to thank the crowd tonight, the people of Las Vegas who were here and